This is KTWH LP 99.5 FM, Two Harbors Community Radio. This is Leo Baybue on the Wednesday Across Divides program. I'm speaking on Monday, May 2nd with Derek Passy, who is wearing his hat as a Lake County Soil and Water District employee today. Welcome to the show, Derek. How are you? This second day of May, hard to believe it and hard to say that.
Yeah, I'm doing fine, Leo. I think it's the second day of May, but I think it's almost the first day of spring.
Oh, yeah. We've seemed to have turned a corner. Some of the solar radiation seems to have actually reached the surface of the planet today. And just as the snow was being whisked out of the environs of Two Harbors near our Great Lake, Derek, just a short while ago, a discovery was made with some implications for what we experience in our natural world right within our city limits. And of course, it's going to affect the broader area. The emerald ash borer was found in a short window in two different counties, Carlton County and in Lake County, right here in Two Harbors. Give us the context of when this discovery was made. And I don't need to know the GPS coordinates, but exactly how did this come to somebody's attention and what happened after it was found?
Sure. What happened is emerald ash borer has been in Duluth for a number of years. I think it's about 8 or 10 years that it's been known to be there. And so it's not unexpected that emerald ash borer would show up here in Two Harbors. But what happened is a couple weeks back, former SWCD employee was out for a walk and he noticed some bark falling off of a tree along the bike trail, the former Shopko, hardware store. And he contacted the Department of Agriculture via the Report a Pest hotline, which for others, it's great to know where that what that is, because that is a method to report suspected sightings of invasive species like this. And so he reported it to the Department of Agriculture, and within 4 days, they were up here, met with McKenzie, and looked at this tree and positively identified it as emerald ash borer. At the same time, they looked throughout the community and identified a few more trees, a couple in the campground area, a couple actually out by where the intersection of Scenic 61 and 61 takes place, and then a couple more closer to the waterfront on South Avenue and First Avenue. It isn't just one location that the emerald ash borer was found. There's actually, I think, eight points on the map showing where they are.
So we're a modest, I'd say even a smaller size city, but it's dispersed across a pretty broad swath of the city. So it's been here for a little while.
It has, because the trees along the bike trail, the thing that is easily identifiable with these are trees that the bark starts to fall off the tree and you can see the what's called galleries or the paths that these larvae take right between the wood and the bark, and they eat that thin layer of the cambium, and then eventually it'll girdle the tree and kill the tree.
Sure, and that being so the lifeblood of the tree, yeah.
But that happens about 3 years down the road after they've first been infested. Derek, it's very typical that...
Were some of the trees that were examined in pretty far along in dying off? In other words, they'd been infected a couple of 3 years?
Yeah, the ones that they were first identified had been infected about 3 years ago. The ones that aren't quite as far along, there's really no way of telling where they are because the early identification in year one is you lose some of the canopy on trees.
Right.
The leaves on the top of the trees die back, and you see the emerald ash borer perhaps, but not very often because they tend to feed at the top of the trees, and that's in the first year or two.
Okay.
So really we're almost about as early as we can spot them is at this point before leaf on is they're already 3 years down the road.
Derek, I don't want to get into the weeds. I'm certainly not an entomologist or a tree expert, but I know that black ash, the most common ash species in our northern forest here in Minnesota, has fairly smooth bark as a young tree up until, you know, it's maybe 10 to 15 years old, and then it gets more plate-like scaly bark. Is it something that is more commonly that there's an infestation in the older tree, or can it happen to a tree of any age? And would it be easier to find maybe in that smooth bark of the young trees?
It can happen to a tree of any age, small as 3-inch diameter, as big as 3-foot diameter. And that's actually another concern is the black ash are one of the few trees that grow in wet areas, and we seem to have a lot of them, well, more than usual right now, but even throughout the summer, black ash can grow in a wetter soil. And so we will be losing our tree cover in these wetland areas, and it'll have some cascading effects on the hydrology of some of the wetlands as well.
Yeah. Do you have a sense for what would fill the niche of a hardwood tree that grows with its feet wet, like the black ash? What can we expect to have happen in our northern woods if there start to become big gaps from emerald ash borer devastation?
There's a few trees that can fill that niche. Well, white cedar, of course, but with our deer, white-tailed deer population, that's kind of a not really working. But swamp white oak is another one that seems to be a good fit for these wetland areas. And there's four or five other trees that might fit in this. And actually, with climate adaptation, it may be beneficial to start looking at trees that may be growing farther south to fill this.
Yeah, I know that the swamp white oaks probably we would have thought of as being 100 or more miles south of here, but that, maybe not for long.
True.
Yeah.
Silver maples are another one that I'm looking out at my front lawn and I'm seeing those growing.
Yeah, and they are a fast-growing tree. So this brings us to that whole question about when you're in the city limits or on residential properties joining roads, what the whole situation is vis-a-vis what should we do about individual tree death, or will the city look at its boulevard trees and say there's one practical way about addressing this? You want to lay out what that logic will be for what they do next?
Sure. What happens is, so we talked about first year is you get the eggs, the ash borer laying the eggs, and then the second year they get the larva that crawls, that gets into the under the bark. And so about the third year, the larvae are feeding, and then they hatch. Fourth year, fifth year, trees start to decline. And really in the sixth year, a lot of these trees, like the Department of Agriculture told me, they just start to fall apart. And that means they're going to be a hazard tree.
Right.
So the city of Two Harbors does have a tree ordinance that they will come in and remove hazard trees that are hazardous to the right-of-way. And so I suspect that what will happen is this summer, we'll probably walk around and look at trees that are in poor condition and identify the trees that really are getting close to that six-year limit where they're going to become hazard trees. And the trees won't be taken out this summer. The best time to get rid of these trees, remove them, is when the emerald ash borer is dormant. Otherwise, they talk about stories in Superior where they just, get rid of all the ash trees and driving down the street and the ash borer beetles are flying around. So we don't want that. We want to keep them contained, let them reinfect the same tree that they're in, and then take it out when they're dormant. So that is really what the recommendation from the Trees and Trails Committee is likely to be.
Today we're hearing about the news of an insect invader that's been found in Lake County just a few weeks ago. We'll continue talking about what it means that the emerald ash borer was found in Two Harbors. We're visiting today with Derek Passy of the Lake County Soil and Water Conservation District here on KTWH. So I guess I didn't drill down carefully enough with you. You're concerned about taking the trees down when the ash borer is dormant, but not necessarily because you think that there's any way that you're going to really slow the progress of the infestation. I mean, this is kind of an inevitable process, isn't it, at this time? We don't have a strategy that's going to stop the emerald ash borer short of having winter temperatures of 100 below zero or something.
Yeah, and I don't think we want to have that temperature.
No,
either.
Because we saw some temperatures that pushed 30 to 40 below either in the polar vortex year or this past winter. And if you kill 90% of the emerald ash borers, that leaves a lot of them, which is the dilemma, yeah. I think. We'd have to have extraordinary conditions to get a population collapse that they don't come back from.
Now, the good thing is, especially for our black ash, is like a lot of invasives, the spread tends to be laterally along corridors, along highways, along streets.
Okay.
Our boulevard trees are going to be endangered. Well, our boulevard trees are generally planted, about 80 to 100 feet apart,
okay.
One lot to the next. Some of these wetland areas that the black ash are in, it'll take a while before the emerald ash borer will be able to get everywhere in there. So it might be a slow decline, and hopefully there's something that stops them, or the Department of Agriculture is also looking at some they're doing some SAMP testing now in research to see if they can make a perimeter of trees where they inject a perimeter of trees and then try save a large group kind of as a oasis that is ash borer free.
And
so far they haven't. It's still in the study stage at this point.
So is that somehow creating some kind of biologically active kind of exclosure perimeter? And what would be what's keeping it from getting into the interior of that block of trees?
Well, the emerald ash borer, there are some herbicides or some pesticides that you can treat
sure. The
tree for. Some of them are applied by individuals, and these tend to be neonicotinoids, which will take out pollinators, and they're pretty harsh. The other treatment is by tree care professionals where they can inject individual trees.
Right, which becomes a costlier solution.
Correct. Well, the thought behind the Department of Agriculture, and they're working with, I'm not sure if it's UMD Forestry, but to try find a black ash swamp where there's a high concentration of ash, and then create a perimeter where they treat the trees along the outside edge.
Okay.
And keep the emerald ash borer from jumping into the middle of these pockets. And hopefully by the time the other ash are gone, these little areas that they saved can start spreading out again.
Oh.
And I'm not sure whether that's going to be feasible or not. Like I said, it's in the research stage at this point.
So
the problem we have with our black ash here in Two Harbors, there's really not a whole lot of density for them in the woods, which is good and bad.
Yeah.
The emerald ash borer won't spread as fast, but there's not a whole lot we can do to try artificially create this oasis of black ash in the woods.
Yeah, well, some of the more extensive stretches of black ash that I find are in probably pretty sensitive areas as well environmentally, where some of your pesticide agents might get in the water that's in contact with the groundwater and or stream water, so there could be a concern there. But also, they are in sensitive soil. So I'm wondering, Derek, were you talking about perhaps even creating a physical gap, like a fire road, kind of space, which would make it more difficult for the emerald ash borer to move across?
I guess I hadn't thought about that, but that does make some sense. That part of the management, if the boulevard trees where the ash borer are going to be able to be located, perhaps clearing trees on the boulevard is the best thing to try protect your tree in the backyard.
Right.
I'm not sure how that worked. I know that a lot of when I was going to school down in Minneapolis, the Falcon Heights and the University of Minnesota, they took out every ash tree in the boulevard, and I thought it was kind of draconian, but it'd be interesting to go back and see if trees in the rear yard were able to be salvaged at that point or not.
Well, Derek, there are additional implications because every infestation of this new, I'm saying relatively new, 20 years, I guess, it's been around the emerald ash borer in the U.S., but there are quarantines that are set up by our Department of Agriculture, and we're about to have a public meeting to lay out the program, what exactly is involved with the quarantine and the response of the agencies to this new discovery in Lake County. Can you give us what you know about this upcoming meeting and what may happen there?
Let me describe the quarantine. It's my understanding, quarantine, you can move ash trees around within the quarantine area.
Right.
Although it's not recommended.
Right.
But you can't move it over the boundary of the quarantine. And the quarantine currently it ends about at Castle Danger on Highway 61. On Highway 2, it's up by the Reeves Road. No, it's actually right at the old Dixie's is where the line crosses there.
Okay.
And then the quarantine extends all the way down to Duluth and parts farther to the south. So it is all the way to the south at point of the county.
Okay. Because this east-west line running from Castle Danger, crossing it, you're saying at the old Dixie, is continuing on into the St. Louis County quarantined area. And that's already been in existence, that quarantine area in St. Louis County. So hopefully we'll be able to see maps that make this all come clearer for us. But
yeah.
So we have that quarantine area. And as you said, moving, a lot of people, for instance, have had access to ash firewood. And if the firewood cutter is located within that quarantine area, they could deliver to somebody else in the quarantine area, but they very well might be moving emerald ash borer to a place that hasn't really gotten started yet.
Yeah, the best thing for firewood is to get certified firewood that invasive free. And
how does
that's
one...
actually what's required.
Okay.
It's required at the DNR campgrounds, well as you cannot bring firewood into the Two Harbors campground. You have to buy it from the campground.
Sure. No, and I was referring to people burning wood in their residential space heating at home, at their homes. You know,
yeah.
They have their firewood vendors. Would there be such a thing as a firewood vendor who'd be certified?
Yeah, there are.
Okay.
There are certified firewood.
Okay.
DNR has a certification process.
So we have to wrap up. So I guess I would say that on May 9th, there is going to be this public meeting. Do you have the particulars on when that occurs and what might be covered there?
I do not have the particulars on it.
Okay. I do have the registration website. I will give that out at the end of our interview. This is on Monday, May 9th from 10 to 11 a.m. is the initial presentation.
Yes. I would encourage people to go to the MDA, Minnesota Department of Agriculture website, and look for emerald ash borer. The map that they have there is really great as far as showing what's considered infested, because infestation doesn't go quite as far as the quarantine, but
okay.
It does go outside of town. So
okay.
We really want to be careful on where we are moving wood. If we have to move it from outside of town to town or in town outside. So just so we don't inadvertently make that green line that they have larger.
Sure. Derek, the map has got enough detail to actually lay out where the infested trees have been discovered?
Yeah, it does. It shows the 7 or 8 trees that were located by the Department of Agriculture, as well as the one that was located by the former SWCD employee. And you can click on them and get the date. And I guess it doesn't have size on them, but a lot of information is available on those trees.
Amazing. Well, it's an issue we'll keep an eye on and try to get some follow-up from our professional foresters, the managers of our public lands where a lot of the logging takes place, and find out what the implications are for the larger timber industry as a whole. Derek, you've kind of given us the lay of the land of what this means, and I really appreciate your time on that.
It's my pleasure, and I just want everybody to be aware of what's happening and why it's happening. Because it's a lot easier to follow the rules when you know why they're there and why we want them to be followed. So
yeah, thanks so much, Derek. It is something I was noting today and doing a little quick homework. At least the source I was reading said that Minnesota has the highest concentration of ash trees in the United States. So that was
and
they're probably dispersed in a number of different quarters of the state, but we're among the 34 counties now that have discovered emerald ash borer out of 87 counties, which tells us there's more to this story that we'll be tracking over time, and we'll be in touch with Soil and Water about that over the years. Thanks, Derek.
You're welcome. Thank you, Leo.
You take care. Bye now. We've been speaking with Derek Passy of the Lake County Soil and Water Conservation District about the emerald ash borer, an insect discovered in the ash trees of the city of Two Harbors just weeks ago. the Emerald Ash Borer virtual informational meeting that we referred to in this interview will be held on Monday, May 9th, 2022, from 10 to 11 a.m., and you can register with the Minnesota Department of Agriculture for that Zoom session at www.mda.state.mn.us/EAB. This is Leo for KTWHLP 99.5 FM, Two Harbors Community Radio. You can hear us online at ktwh.org.